Hi, Odyssey Podcast listeners. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Summer is over and fall is here, so break out those sweaters and find yourself a pumpkin.
And put a sweater on that pumpkin. It's getting cold.
It's also finally time for another Adventures in Odyssey album. Yes, album 63, Up in the Air, started airing last weekend with part one of Find a Penny.
Part one began with the incredible revelation that Wooten lost not only his memories, but also his new wife, Penny. And it ended with an exciting cliffhanger that there were some bad guys who did all this to Wooten on purpose.
How did all of the incredibly revelatory part one come together? And what's ahead in the exciting part two? We got the scoop with writer-director Kathy Buchanan, part one sound designer Nathan Jones, and part two sound designer Christopher Deal. Guys, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Always fun.
Thanks.
I've got a question for all three of you to start off. Now, there's something rather unexpected about this episode, and that is that it revolves around Wooten's memory loss. Have any of you ever forgotten something important and kind of had to piece together what happened later? Don't all of you speak at once.
I'm not going to give any details, but basically, you know, what came to mind was when somebody hasn't, like, been chummy with you in a long time and they don't talk to you and you wonder why they fell off the map and all of that. Not just Chris, but you as well.
Oh.
but then you have to, and then you realize that maybe you did something to them that angered them or may have put them off or whatever. And then you have to like go back and put back the pieces, pick all the pieces back together and just kind of think, what did I do? What happened?
What show did I mess up so badly?
What show did I mess up so bad?
She's mad at me.
So, Kathy, please forgive me if I've offended you.
You've made it up with this show, whatever you might have done to offend me.
Oh, wonderful.
One of the other things that I know happens to me a lot is we get to have a lot of guests that come through the studio and they'll say, you know, remember that show that you worked on? I just listened to it. It's a new show that you just did. And I'll be like, what was that show that I just worked on? And then I'll realize it was a show that I produced maybe a year ago. And because we do so much over that time period, I don't remember a lot of what I did or even maybe what the story was until they kind of start to refresh it or that I was the one that produced it because we get to hear all of our shows. And so, that happens quite often, unfortunately. Maybe it's just my age.
Well, I'm sure this happens quite a bit, but never like it did with Wooten and Penny in Find a Penny. Kathy, the idea for this episode started with just one line.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that line was?
Yeah, we were at a writer's meeting. We have these week-long creative meetings a couple times a year, and we were talking about the show, and I kind of had some ideas for it. But then, we were talking about the show that was leading up to this show. And so Dave Arnold said, and at the end of it, maybe, you know, Wooten can just pop in. And Phil Lawler said, and say, I lost Penny. And so then we all laughed because it was this funny thing about Wooten coming back from his honeymoon, having lost his new wife. But then we were thinking, why not? That could actually be a fun premise.
And how did it evolve from there?
Well, I had started thinking of what could happen on their honeymoon, but the interesting challenge of this was to do it without his memory and kind of moving backwards and using clues to put together that adventure as opposed to just doing a straight adventure in normal time. So, that's kind of what made the whole thing fun.
Well, to our listeners, I guess they're going to interpret some of those clues as being the postcards that had been foreshadowed really for months prior to that. The clues that we were dropping as a result of the postcards other characters in Odyssey were receiving. Was Find a Penny planned when those scenes with those postcards were recorded? Was that all intentional?
Well, yes. In a sense, I was just getting to the end while I was working on the show. And I was thinking it would be really fun if we saw some of these clues ahead of time in previous shows. So we were planning on recording Find a Penny in April, but I was working on it in January. And we also had a recording session at the end of January. And so I was emailing people who had shows that were recording in January saying, hey, can you just slip in this conversation, this postcard? Which is, you know, I feel bad for the writers because I'm just like, just slip this in somewhere. But I was really happy with the setup. And I think it was always fun hearing from the listeners who kind of caught it ahead of time. There was even one who contacted me that was like, it's fun hearing, you know, about the honeymoon through the postcards. I wish we could have been there, though. And I was like, oh, you're going to see the whole thing.
Yeah, we're just going to have the same feeling in a couple episodes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, with this episode, we're finally hearing from Wooten and Penny after their wedding. As a writer, what's your favorite part of the Wooten-Penny chemistry and the dynamic as a couple? Now that they're husband and wife, I mean, how are we going to see those dynamics changing?
I just love that they're similar enough, but they also have their own unique quirks and just love each other because of them. And so I just think they really bring out the best in each other, which is great in any relationship. And I think they'll continue to do that. And I also love that Penny has a good friendship with Connie. And so Ed Wooten has his own friendships and in town too. So I think we'll see a lot of shows with them together, but we'll still see Wooten being Wooten in shows and Penny doing things with Connie. And so I like that they have their individual personalities too.
Yeah. With an episode with all these flashbacks and so many characters, it seemed like there are a lot of moving parts. What order do you record the scenes in the studio?
In this show, we actually recorded it chronologically, which we don't always do, but we moved the scenes around so the actors knew what actually happened on the honeymoon before Wooten lost his memory, and so they would know going forward what had happened.
So flashbacks first.
Flashbacks first, and then what was happening in current time.
Well, speaking of those flashbacks, Chris, Nate, two flashy guys, you were in charge of having to actually produce what those flashbacks sounded like. They're taking place all over the world. Are there particular sounds that you used to indicate other countries?
Well, I think anytime you go to a different country, I think your production radar goes up, and you have to be kind of aware of like birds and things that don't exist in other countries. You know, like I couldn't give you the full rundown, but I think you just have to kind of keep your ears open and make sure that you don't put, you know, some North American bird in the middle of Asia somewhere, stuff like that,
or even sirens, different kinds of things that might be in the background. They do sound a little bit different.
So the street sounds in London versus Paris are going to be different.
Yeah, very different.
Kathy, there are very specific clues related to cities around the world. Have you actually been to those cities, or if not, how did you research those clues?
I've been to Paris and London. I have not been to Managua, but I've been skydiving, so I've had that experience, so I could kind of hear that a little bit.
I have a feeling that skydiving sounds the same no matter where you are.
There's a little more of an accent in the wind.
The atmosphere
in Nicaragua.
Is slightly different.
I appreciate how you added that.
So, guys, how did you research where those places should sound like when you decided that there were differences between the countries?
I threw Nate out of a plane.
You've been waiting for that episode for a long time.
And it sounded like that.
Nate, in part one, there's a tricky bit where Jason's in a hospital and he plays a video of the pool boys over his laptop speakers. Tell us about that. Was that a challenge for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of those multi-layered sort of kind of things, you know, where you first have to start with an organic something like could be just the sound of the music. Then you have to make the music sound like it's in a huge stadium. And then you've got to make that sound like it was on a camera. And then you got to make that sound like it was played over a laptop. So you've got like, what, 4 or 5 times removed from something original. And so that can be very complicated when you're mixing, especially when it comes to having a playback scenario and letting the team hear it. And you're just crossing your fingers, hoping that everybody's going to get exactly all the layers that you intended. So, yeah, it can be very difficult.
So did you actually go and record it that way?
No, I did not. We started with the music, from the recording at the studio. Started with the singing, got the music from John Campbell, put that together and just made a mix that sounded like something that you would hear normally. And, you know, on the radio or what have you. And then I took that and then placed it in the concert scenario, added crowds and got the crowd sound effects to make it sound like that they were really kind of reacting and participating with that. And then, you know, gobs of stadium reverb. I had to add that.
I have to say, listening to this, though, it gives me a whole new appreciation for you both because, in the script I write... And Wooten sings with the Pool Boys, and then I just kind of, you know, keep moving. And yeah, then you guys are just been like, wow, there's a whole lot of layers here that now I have to deal with. And I'm just, you know, happily riding along. So thank you for what you do. And I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's one of those examples where a sentence looks good on script.
And it's 3 weeks of work.
And it takes like 3 weeks of work. So, yeah.
One of the bonus features on the album, I'm sure the fans are enjoying, and it's in the club as well, is the complete version of the Pool Boys song, I'm in the Deep End Over You. Kathy, why did you decide to include a song in this episode?
Well, it sounded like a good idea at the time. Well, I was thinking, I didn't want all these clues to come from postcards. You want a variety. And so I thought, well, if they could find something online that could be another clue that they can connect everything with, where they hear, you know, Wooten saying something when he gets on stage that would lead to something else, which is how that all happened. But I had intended it to just be a line, like pretty quick, a pretty quick, line at the end and a line at the beginning of the next scene. The funny thing is Nathan had called me and said, do you want to write the lyrics for the song so we can actually put them in the script? And so I wrote out some lyrics, and then he wrote back and said, how about Nate does the lyrics instead?
Well, no.
So that's how I am with song lyrics.
No,
I
but
better
that,
stick to script.
Yeah, that was nothing against you. I just remembered way back when in Wooing Wooten. Mm-hmm. Wooten wanted to sing a favorite song, you know, a song from his favorite band, the Pool Boys. Mm-hmm. And it was I'm in the Deep End Over You. And way back then, we had a taste of a song, but this was a chance to maybe do a little nod back to that and to maybe have a little bit more of the song to chew on.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little time.
Well, I was really happy that you did the lyrics. I was thrilled with the song.
I was honored that I was allowed to do it.
So take us into the studio for the recording of that song. Did you have backup singers? How did you do it?
So we had Wooten and Lachlan, perform these songs in the studio. We recorded them. And then actually, Katie Lee's husband decided in the last minute, hey, can I sing background? So we had him come in and also sing. So it was great to have all them come together and sing this song on the spot. And it was a lot of fun to put together.
That was really fun.
And I'm sure that they were all glad that, unlike in Wooing Wooten, which was all recorded underwater, that they were able to record it.
That would have been an interesting challenge. I call this...
I had the tub ready to go in the studio, but no one wanted to get in.
Nobody needed it. I call this the Above the Surface tour, promoting their new album, which is not underwater.
Sort of the coming up for air.
Coming up for air. That's a great title.
That's a good one, too. Well, there's also a scene where Wooten and Penny go skydiving. Kathy, how did you direct the actors to sound as if they were about to jump out of a plane?
I remember that. They yelled a lot. It was fun.
It was loud.
It was fun to watch them.
You had to adjust a lot of levels.
I did. I remember seeing Penny and Wooten, and they did a lot of yelling, and it was very, really quite loud in the studio. They had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. Now, Nate, when you had this recording to work with, you had to make it sound as though they were falling through the air. So how do you take that loud screaming and then kind of bring it down to get the effect you wanted?
Well, actually, yeah, you need the loud yelling because of the wind. If you've ever been out on a windy day, you can't hear yourself, so you actually start yelling. So that all worked out well. But this scene's great because Penny actually shoves Wooten out of the plane. I mean, you know,
she had to.
Yeah, you know, he's at the edge, and she just, you know, one, two, and, you know, preempts a three, I guess, and, like, just shoves him out. So you're not expecting that. And so you hear Wooten, he goes, just falls out into nowhere. And then she jumps out after him. And the trick is to make wind on a skydiving adventure.
How did you do it?
The first way you tried, I thought, was very creative.
I don't remember the first way because I think I scrapped it as a failure.
It was you tried to take a hero cam and you stuck it at the end of a rope and tried to twirl it around in circles to get that air sound.
Oh,
but the problem is it's not consistent, so it has that helicopter sound to it. Yeah,
and that just wasn't going to work. So eventually, I decided to get on a fast straightway. Went 65, and I hit my iPhone into record and stuck it out the window.
Nice.
Chris, any other challenges that you faced while producing part two?
There are a lot of different adventures we still get to go on in part two. And, you know, the mystery starts to unfold some, and, you know, some of the clues that we were given start to be revealed. You know, there's a very large sounding waterfall that we might hear, and some interesting stuff that happens there. And a helicopter is involved in part of this. And it is exciting. Yeah, Kathy did a great job on this, pulling this mystery together. I think it's a fun show.
Well, that serves as a terrific preview of what's coming in part two. Guys, thank you so much for your time and for all your energy and creative effort.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Wow, what a captivating interview. I loved listening to them talk about the show.
Oh, you sure did. You didn't talk at all.
Oh, I was as silent as the noble stick bug. And like the stick bug, I can't wait to hear part two of Find a Penny.
You know, far be it from me to keep you and a stick bug waiting. Let's hear a sneak peek of part two.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, the search for Penny becomes more urgent.
These people are known associates of a group called the Victimizers.
The bad guys were never after Wooten.
They weren't trying to get the coin back from Wooten, who they really want to find is Penny!
Can Whit, Jason, Connie, and Wooten find her in time?
Where is she?
We don't know, which is why you're here.
As bait.
Don't miss the next adventure in Odyssey.
Find a Penny Part 2 airs this weekend on the radio and online.
I can't wait. But our fans want to know, will there be more Pool Boy songs in Part 2?
I'm afraid not. But if you liked it, you can hear the full track of the Pool Boys' hit single, I'm in the Deep End Over You, as a bonus feature on album 63. It's available right now in the club on CD and digital download.
And before we go, if you're spending more time indoors during this cooler fall weather, why not read a few of our new Adventures in Odyssey books? Book 2 of the Blackard Chronicles, titled Pawn's Play, and the Imagination Station Book 20, titled Inferno in Tokyo, are out this month.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family. Our website is witsend.org/podcast. You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
I'm in the deep end over you. Just a drowning fool.
Take it, Will.
Cause I-